Josephine Hunter reporting from the lower plaza of Rockefeller Center. A few days ago, I was present at the opening of a wonderful exhibition, which is now the talk of America. I am British, as you may gather from my accent, and I must confess that my heart beat a little faster when the British Consul General, Sir Henry Hobson, formally opened the exhibition. The opening ceremony displayed to New Yorkers a shining, golden, true-to-life replica of the state coach, complete with its eight horses, postilions, and yeomen of the guard. The coach in which Queen Elizabeth II will ride to and from Westminster Abbey. The scene here is almost too much for me to describe. Right before me, the cavalcade seems to have paused momentarily. Above it is a royal blue canopy, and around it are majestic standards. All New York seems to have turned out to look at the cavalcade. People of all walks of life, young and old, and from their faces, it would seem that the romance of the young British Queen is being shared by them all. The children in particular are wide-eyed with wonder, just as their little British cousins will be on the day of the coronation. But let me tell you how the coach got here. It came over from England in two ships, the Queen Elizabeth and the Mauritania, as the whole thing was too big to come in one. And it was sent by a British phonograph record company, London Records Incorporated, as a goodwill gesture. With it travelled a distinguished British peer, the Marquis of Donegal, who is well known on both sides of the Atlantic as a journalist, lecturer, politician, and oddly enough, an expert on New Orleans jazz. But I've just seen Lord Donegal approaching, and before he gets bogged down with questions fired at him by the visitors, let me bring him to this microphone. Lord Donegal, can you give me a few minutes?
Certainly, Miss Hunter.
I've just been describing the scene here today, and I'd like to ask you to answer a few questions. First of all, would you tell me something about the history of the coach?
The history of the coach, well, it was to be ready for George III's coronation in 1760. It's nearly 200 years old. But it wasn't ready, so he used it for his first opening of Parliament in 1761. After that, it was kept for coronations only. Until George VI, the Queen's father, thought that he would use it for the opening of Parliament, because the other state coach is very cumbersome indeed. All sorts of things, of course, have happened to it in its history. In the meantime, it was smashed up twice by the mob, who didn't like George III any more than they did in America. And other vicissitudes. It's been renewed, of course, redecorated for each coronation, of which this is the seventh.
Oh, yes. Is the model correct, Lord Donegal, or did the makers forget to put a driver on it? I notice that there's nobody sitting up in front there.
There are three alterations that have been made to it. The first one was by the present Queen's great-grandfather, Edward VII, who removed the coachman and his box in order that the people could see inside the coach better. Then the two alterations that have been done for the Queen. One is that she's had rubber tyres put on.
Well, that'll stop it swaying a bit. I believe it does have the reputation for swaying, doesn't it, round the corners?
I believe it has a rather seasick-making motion, but she's had rubber tyres put on. And the other thing is that it will have fluorescent lighting, which is designed to help the Queen's makeup, which has to be a makeup which will do for the dim light of the Abbey and for what we hope will be bright sunshine when she comes out.
Yes. Well, I believe the Queen was very pleased with the alterations, wasn't she, Lord Donegal?
Well, I know that when it arrived in the royal stables, that she insisted on taking a ride in around the stables in it.
Could you tell me something about the Tritons on the back of the coach, Lord Donegal?
Well, the Neptune, of course, is there, and the Tritons. Mm-hmm. In fact, all the gold figures are oceanic symbolism, which symbolize the expansion of the British naval empire in the Seven Years' War.
Britannia ruled the waves. Was that it?
Britannia indeed ruled the waves, and the marine chronometer had just been invented at that time by Harrison, and so navigation at sea was much more accurate than it ever had been before. Mm. And the British Navy and the British pirates as well took advantage of it.
And that is why, as you say, the motifs, there's a shell-like motif in the front of the coach too, isn't there?
Yes, all the gold figures are oceanic. In fact, Horace Walpole, who usually crabbed most things, said that it was absurd to have all these things connected with the sea on a land vehicle.
How about the top? I hate to say there are gold knobs on the top, but just what are those symbols, Bill?
The top, in the middle of the top, there are three cherubs or boys who represent England, Ireland and Scotland, supporting the imperial crown.
Oh, I see, yes. Well, this is all very interesting, O'Donegal. I wonder whether you could tell me what will eventually become of the coach.
The model, as I understand it, I'm told, after it's finished here in Rockefeller Plaza, is going to Canada.
Oh, well, that's very good to hear.
Well, I'm rather glad about that because I'm half Canadian. My mother came from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Oh, yes. Well, after all, it was Canada that bought Queen Mary's carpet, and there is the rumour that the Queen Mother may be appointed as the Governor General of Canada. But now we will pause for a moment and listen to a portion of another London FFRR recording of the band of the Grenadier Guards. Of the many famous Guards bands in Britain, I think Londoners have a special fondness for the Grenadiers, whose own march is familiar to every schoolboy. So now, to the Grenadier Guards.
Thank you.
And now as I stand here in the lower plaza of Rockefeller Center with the sound of the fountain in the background and the many people passing by this beautiful exhibition, I see Lord Donegal approaching. He is the official host of this exhibition, and I see that with him there is the Archduke Franz Joseph of Austria and his wife Princess Martha, and I believe they are asking Lord Donegal some questions now.
Sir, I gather you have been round the exhibit.
Yes.
Yes, and yes. I think it's beautiful, really. It's so well done, the whole thing.
Was there anything...
Every detail.
Anything that struck you, ma'am, in particular?
I think it's so divine that all the decorations, the men having all the decorations on.
Oh, each individual man has the proper decorations on.
Yes, I think that's charming, yes. That idea.
Yes.
And these were made also in the scale, that little decoration.
Yes, they were, and that is really only forms part of making a perfect reproduction,
yes.
100%,
absolutely,
you
yes.
see,
yes.
all and part of it.
I never saw anything like that. It's really the most divine thing.
Well, it took a lot of men a long time to make.
I believe.
To 28
it's
men.
It's a great thing of art, and it should be given to a museum, I think, really.
Later on.
It should
stand in a museum.
Yes, it should.
And be shown to the world in other lands to show what Conte has tradition and what tradition really means.
Yes, it is going to be shown in Canada, and then I think they're still thinking out what is the best thing to do with it. Eventually, as you say, it should have something worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is a tradition, as you say, sir.
Is that the first replica ever made of the original carriage, and I mean of the carriage itself, not of the whole cavalcade?
As far as I know, there's never been another. I haven't seen one in a museum in England. It's certainly the first big one.
Is it your idea?
No, I'm afraid not, no.
I think it's divine, really.
London Records have brought it here, you see, as a goodwill gesture.
Yes.
Because we thought
it's
it was rather interesting for other people to see how
choice.
We enjoy our holidays.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I'm glad you like the exhibition. You've just heard the Archduke Franz Joseph of Austria and his wife, Princess Martha. For the next 4 days, we shall be able to continue our discussion and also bring to you some more famous people. But for the moment, we must say goodbye from the state coach which was brought to America by London Records Incorporated. We'll fade out with one of their high-fidelity recordings.